dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable. I know my voice may not sound like me today, but this is really me. Forgive my hoarseness, but we're so happy to be with you once again here on WMAF. I actually have the mother of all head colds, but God is going to help me to minister in spite of all of that. God has been so gracious and so good to us. It's so good to be here on WMAF and to all of you in the Madison area. We are so happy to be part of your devotional life. And to those of you listening, as I said last week, by computer, anywhere in the world, anywhere in any of the United States, we are so glad that you have joined us again for this edition of the Let's Talk About Jesus. Now, I'm expecting my voice to get better as we go along in this broadcast instead of getting worse. I thought about calling the station and having them to just play last week's program again, but I prayed and asked the Lord to help me to bring this broadcast to you in spite of voice problems today. If you can understand what I'm saying, even with the raspiness and occasional clearing of my throat, we're going to bring you a wonderful message from the Word of God. And we're so glad that we have the Bible, God's book. It is the most controversial book that has ever been written. It is the most dissected, the most contested, the most attacked book that has ever been written. And yet it stands today. Down through all of the periods of time, people have come and gone, but the Word of God remains just like God promised. When we bring you something from God's Word, you can bank on it. And I mean that in the powerful, positive sense of that statement. Praise God. Hallelujah. There is no crisis of integrity, no crisis of God's greatness and graciousness toward man. We stand in a wonderful privileged place if you're a Christian. And if you're not a Christian today, stay tuned. We want you to hear why that we love our God so very much and why we are so devoted to following Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. And we're going to speak today on feasting on God's faithfulness. This issue of God's faithfulness is one of my favorite subjects, and I can't wait to get into the Word of God today. Amen. So let's move very quickly into 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19 for our Bible study today. Wherefore it says, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator, as unto a faithful Creator. You know, we celebrate once a year in the Christian faith Easter Sunday. We call it Resurrection Sunday because it commemorates the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what a powerful change came in the lives of those men who were chosen to be his disciples, Peter in particular, who had denied him out of fear for his own life. We may ask ourselves, what changed these seeming cowards into such courageous apostles of the faith? Well, number one was the resurrection. The fact that he was able to conquer death certainly gave them courage. But when he appeared to them bodily after the resurrection in a room where they were actually hiding for their very lives, and he appeared to him, he told them to go and preach the gospel into all the world. And he said something that was life-changing to them if it's believed and received, and it would be life-changing to you as a Christian today. He said, lo and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. That was the promise of his presence, but all of that is revealing something about his faithfulness. Psalm 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. One translator of Hebrews said, fed on his truth. Another says to be fed on his faithfulness or to feed on his faithfulness. It's not just the bounty of the land. God was going to bless them in this land, but it wasn't just the bounty, the great harvest that was going to come in for their bodies, but it was the faithfulness of their God to care for them, provide for them, and protect them. The basis of all our trust, the foundation for all our faith, the reason for our hope, and the source of our boldness and courage is this quality of God's character, in effect, His faithfulness. We can feed on that today. Now, I know the world can be so frightening, and we hear so many things that come in upon us right into our hearts and grip us with fear and anxiety. All you have to do is read the morning paper. All you have to do is watch CNN on television or any of the other MSNBC on computer. Anywhere you go, it seems like the news is bad. But when we realize He is faithful and He is our God, we ought to have no fear. Sidlow Baxter observes this. He says, "The faithfulness of God is like a gigantic archway spanning human history from its beginning to its ending. God's faithfulness like an archway right from the beginning to the end of time." And he goes on to describe how that archway spans the pillars of God's faithfulness. He isn't just faithful, but he is loving. He is angry. He is holy. He is omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He has many attributes and parts to his being, and you can't separate those, just like you can't separate God himself, or you can't pull you apart. You have many parts, but you can't separate those. And in the same way, God's faithfulness, as Baxter says, is arching over all of his attributes. You can't pull any of them apart and make them separate or single entities of themselves. And that's seen within his faithfulness. No one of God's attributes contradicts another of his attributes. In other words, God's love never contradicts God's justice. That's what some would teach today, that it doesn't matter really what you do. God will just love you, take you to heaven without receiving Christ or repenting from your sins. That's universalism. But that's talking about one of God's attributes and taking it and looking at it and forgetting about His justice. But the justice of God and the love of God together mean that God's justice came down on Jesus Christ on the cross. Hallelujah. And His grace was shown toward you and me. It's the same with God's faithfulness. It harmonizes with absolutely everything and every other attribute of God. And the first thing I want to talk about today is God's faithfulness to forgive. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, it said, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Someone has said forgiveness is the fragrance the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it. I want to read that again. Forgiveness is the fragrance the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it. And now you know that verse very well. That speaks of the righteousness of God in faithfulness, doesn't it? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. In the Greek, that means righteous. He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. His faithfulness and His forgiveness are linked together in forgiveness. Isn't that so powerful? Amen. God is faithful in forgiving. Listen, if you are a Christian and you have failed, God is faithful and righteous to forgive you if you will show the humility and the sincerity and confess your sins. You know, the Bible said if we say that we have no sin, we lie. We're not being honest and forthright and truthful. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's in His sight. We become right wise with God. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior today, I'm telling you, if you confess your sin and repent of your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin. I know it sounds too good to be true. That's what grace is all about. Do we deserve it? Absolutely not. Does God provide it out of great love for us? Yes, He indeed does. How can He be just and a justifier of sinners? How can He be righteous in His dealings with man? It's because He judged our sin in His Son. His Son, the chastisement of our peace, Isaiah 53:5 said, was laid upon Him. The New Testament spins off of that, quotes it directly, distinctly, 1 Peter 2:24, with His stripes ye are healed. Hallelujah. I am so glad that God loved the world enough to give His only begotten Son. Listen to this. In other words, He's not papering over the cracks. He's not turning a blind eye to our sin, but He's being a holy God, and He's completely, legally, and righteously pardoning us. And because that He is faithful and just, faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so listen to this. You can be sure that God, according to His righteousness, according to His faithfulness, has forgiven your sin. Hallelujah. Do you know that? You can be sure because He is faithful. He stamped the seal of His faithfulness upon your soul if you're saved. And if you're trusting in the blood of Calvary, if you put your faith in the grace of God found in Christ, the bleeding Lamb at Calvary, if you've done that, hallelujah, God has forgiven you. And if you haven't done that and you decide before this broadcast is over or at the end of this broadcast to repent of your sin and call upon the name of the Lord because of God's faithfulness, today you can be saved. God is not only faithful to forgive, God is faithful to protect. This is called keeping power. I love to consider the keeping power of God. Some people are afraid to commit themselves to Christ because they're afraid they can't walk it out or live it out. And in their honesty, they don't want to be a hypocrite. They've seen that. It leaves a bad taste in their mouth. They want to be real if they're going to be righteous. And I'm going to tell you something. You can't do it in yourself, but God can keep you. He can protect you from the tempter. He can protect you from the weakness of your own flesh. He can protect you from every snare and every enemy. He is faithful in forgiveness. And in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, we find this verse. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. It reads like this, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and guard you from evil. Now we've seen God's faithfulness in forgiving. This is a God's faithfulness in protecting. He will establish you and will guard you. Now that's His omnipotence, His all-powerfulness. That's God's faithfulness in His omnipotence. You know what Paul said? He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The actual Greek reads like this, I am equal to anything and everything through Christ who gives me and infuses strength into my inward man. That's one way of rendering that. That great arch spanning over the pillar of omnipotence is faithfulness. It's lovely to think that God is guarding us. And in the Greek language, that's a military term. It means to garrison around. Think of it. Not even Satan himself can penetrate the great bulwarks of God's omnipotence. We are protected by God. Now, there are times, our outward man and our outward boundary sometimes can be penetrated by the devil himself. But around the Spirit of God's elect, there's a fiery circle. And if Satan should try to attempt to get in there, he will get scorched because God is faithful to protect us in his omnipotence. Amen. We're told to put on Christ and to make no provision for the flesh. Every Christian is in an all-out war with Satan. The Bible speaks of our adversary, the devil. He is a formidable foe, but God is faithful to protect you and protect me. He's given us and made provision for us that we might put on spiritual armor. Praise God. God has equipped us with an unsurpassed and incomparable spiritual armor for this battle. You know, the Bible said in Ephesians 6 that we're to put on the whole armor of God and this wonderful faithfulness of God to protect us is becoming more and more evident. He's able to keep, Paul said, what we commit unto him against that day. Greater is he, John said, 1 John epistle, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's our responsibility to resist the devil when you reject him with the power of the indwelling Christ. My Bible says he will flee from you. Christ gives us his mighty strength to resist Satan's strategies. Philippians 4:13 said, it is not I, but Christ in me that I have this overwhelming, conquering power. Hallelujah. Our responsibility in this spiritual warfare is to put on the full armor of God. You will never win the spiritual war without it. By using the armor of God as provided for us, we stand firm against the schemes of the devil. In this spiritual war, we must take up the full armor of God so we can resist Satan and stand firm. The Apostle Paul makes an urgent appeal for the believer to take his stand. It really reads like this: we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Wherefore, take unto you the full armor of God, the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand, having done all to stand. Praise God. When you take your stand for Jesus Christ and you take your stand to move in the right direction, the way that God has set for man to live and walk, all of heaven's resources become yours. God's very Penelope, God's very own armor is yours to take and to put on. And the battles that you have been losing in your own weak, fleshly attempt to live the overcoming, victorious life, you will be begin to win those battles. And when those battles are won, you will not take credit for the victory, because you will know it's a God-given victory. It is Christ that lives, Paul said. It's no more I that live, but it's Christ living his victorious life through me. Praise God. God is faithful to protect. Some people won't come to the Lord for fear of not being able to follow through with their commitment. I want to assuage your fears today by telling you, if you come to Christ, he's not only faithful to forgive you, but he's faithful to protect you, to keep you. There's keeping power. The one verse of Scripture says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Amen. That word falling means, in the way it's phrased in the Greek, means keep you from going back into sin. There is keeping power. The Bible said we are kept by the power of God. This is God's faithfulness to keep what we commit unto him against that day. Amen. Oh, I want to encourage you today to take that step of faith if you've never taken it, and make Jesus the Lord of your life, your Lord and your personal Savior. He will give you strength. There's a scripture in John's Gospel, chapter 1. It said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Isn't that an incredible verse of Scripture? Don't be afraid of receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. For as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. This is a legal term. It's speaking not initially about strength, although it qualifies you for the infusing of His strength, His omnipotent power into our lives. But it's speaking of the legal authority that, like power of attorney, is a legal document. This is the power to become the sons of God, that we are actually accepted into God's family as His own children. Praise God. And we then qualify for Him to fill us with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What we can't do in ourselves, we can do through Jesus Christ, because that He puts His strength in our hearts and in our lives. This is incredible. God is faithful to forgive, and God is faithful to protect, and God is faithful to keep His promises. Do you look up, He is faithful in forgiving and in protecting, and then He is faithful in promising. Hebrews 10 and verse 23, you read this: "Let us hold fast our profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." He is faithful that promised. That's His faithfulness in promising. It literally reads like this: "Listen, let us hold fast the confession." That's more outward. When you tell people about the Lord, hold fast the confession of our hope. That's what it literally means, the hope that lies before us. Now, that is the faithfulness of God's truth. You have confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that is God's truth. And because of that, God will be faithful to bring you to your final destination. A saintly old grandmother, she was a godly woman, used to rejoice in the promises of God. She would rock in her rocking chair with her Bible open on her knee, looking at her favorite passages. And there were times that she would just doze off in that old chair and woke up again and begin to read. But there was one day that she dozed off and she never awoke. And the Bible was left open on her knee. And when her family came in to find her, they found it open. And they took that Bible, her son took it, and began to read it day by day with his wife before the Lord. And day by day they were reading. They would come across little passages and etchings and jottings that she would have made at the side of the margin. And they would find these two letters, T.P., all the time, right beside the verse. T.P., all the time. And they noted it. And they didn't know what it meant until eventually they came to it written in full beside one great promise of God. She had written, "Tried and proved." How many promises can we write that beside? "Tried and proved." The longer I live and preach the Word of God, the longer I'm able to see how absolutely true the Scripture is. God is faithful. The Bible said concerning His own word, not only His own character, faithful to His character, faithful to His promises in His word, amen, that He watches over His word to perform it. He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but My word will never pass away." In Bunyan's great allegory, Pilgrim's Progress, the incident is related of how Christian decides to leave the main highway and follow another path, which seemed easier. But this path leads him into the territory of giant despair, who owns Doubting Castle. Eventually he's captured by giant despair and is kept in the dungeon. He's advised to kill himself. The giant said there's no use trying to keep on with this journey. For the time it seemed as if despair had really conquered Christian. But then hope, Christian's companion, reminds him of the previous victories. So it came about that on Saturday about midnight they began to pray and continued in prayer until almost morning. Now, little before it was day, good Christian, as one half amazed, broke out in passionate speech. "What a fool am I thus to lie in a stinking dungeon when I may as well be at liberty? I have a key in my bosom called promise. That will, I am persuaded, open any lock in doubting castle. Then said Hopeful, that's good news, good brother. Pluck it out of thy bosom and try. And the prison gates flew open. You know, you may be living today in the castle of despair, deep in the dungeon. I remember before I became a Christian, and I'm going to go back in the day now, when I was a young man, I used to enjoy some of the harder acid rock groups, and one in particular was Jimi Hendrix. I had all of his albums, went to see his concerts. I remember after becoming a Christian, putting that record on and listening to a particular song. And the last time I listened to that album, I didn't need the kind of downer stuff anymore. I had something better to sing about. Praise God. Amen. But I listened to the lyrics of a song called, and the song said, "No sun coming through my window. Feel like I'm living at the bottom of a grave. No sun coming through my window. Feel like I'm living at the bottom of a grave. Won't someone rescue me? I don't live today. I don't live today," the chorus said. "Maybe tomorrow. I just can't say." Oh, the hope of the gospel is so different. You may be in great despair today, but God has promised in His Word to forgive your sin, to cleanse you from unrighteousness, to deliver you from the hand of the enemy, praise God, to give you overcoming strength and overcoming power. You may consider yourself a loser at life, so why? That's going to translate over into God's kingdom. It is not going to translate. God is going to work a new thing in your life. And if you're a Christian and you're not living in victory, I dare say you've tried to live it in your strength and you've failed, and you're in that castle of despair, in that deep dungeon of discouragement. I want to encourage you today that God is faithful to His promises. You know, one verse of Scripture in the New Testament said, if we deny Him, if we literally denied Him, if I denied Him tomorrow, it's not going to change Him. Amen. If I deny Him, He cannot deny Himself, but He remains faithful. The Bible says, faithful is He that called you, who will also do it. Praise God. I don't live this out in my strength. My strength won't take me very far. But I live this Christian life in victory, in the strength and the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what Paul said. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Folks, this is faithfulness on a level that it's hard to receive and fully comprehend. But I want to say it loud and clear, even with my raspy voice today. God is faithful. And He's calling to all that will listen right now. He's calling you to salvation. He's calling you to be sealed with the Holy Spirit in today of redemption. He's calling you to open your heart and your life to Him so that He can come in and live His life through you. The Spirit of Him, the Scripture said, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He shall also quicken, that means to give life, to your mortal body. This is not about the last day, the resurrection of the just. This is about now, here and now, His life in you, in me. God is faithful, and that's why we overcome. No one is doing this in themselves. So friend, if you don't know Jesus today, would you open the door of your heart? He said, if any man open the door, I will come in, sup with him, Him with me. Repent of your sins, call upon the name of the Lord, and He will do the rest in your life as you yield it to Him. If you're a Christian today and you're discouraged, there's a key in your heart. God is faithful. God is faithful. Take it out and use that key of hope and open the door and go free. Until next week, this is Pastor Robert Venable saying unto you, why don't you come back and be with us and let's talk some more about Jesus Christ. He loves you so much. We love you today. Amen.